Oh, smoky. On the streets.
That's the Talking Heads with This Must Be the Place.
Oh, this must be the place for the podcast.
Action Features Podcast. Get your socks on, people.
Hey, get your socks on. Yeah. Dig it.
Are you ready to get your socks on?
Hey, can you dig it? Hey.
I can dig it.
Can you dig it?
Here's a shovel. Can you dig it?
I can dig it. Hey, I don't know what episode number this is.
Hey, hip man.
Do you?
No.
I don't either. I guess you should look it up. Okay.
They'll find out. They'll find out.
Just a second. Gosh.
You know, girls.
It's unprofessional tonight.
Everything has to be perfect.
This is 124. I want to say thanks again to the last episode, to Cornboy from the Horseman, for showing up. I do have two corrections to throw out from that episode.
Oh.
First of all, was a goof on my part, which is not an intentional goof. It's just something I've done. When we were talking about the Visionaries figures, and Cornboy thought...
Knights of the Magical Light?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was remembering a different toy line, and I said it was Nocturnals. I've always called Supernaturals
Nocturnals.
As a kid, I even called them Nocturnals. Mm-hmm. During the toy mall days, I would write Nocturnals on the toy tags, carded ones, I'd write it on there, just because that's what I always called it. And as a goof and an Easter egg to myself, I would write them on the tags. But it was actually Supernaturals. So in case you're wondering what toy line I was talking about, it was Supernaturals.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I think I said it to you a bunch of times.
I'm sure.
I would call it to you in the toy mall even. But you know exactly what I meant. It's Supernaturals.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other correction was Cornboy had said that the extra heads pictured on the Psydot variants, may or may not be included depending on how many orders they hit. And that is incorrect. He misspoke. They will include anything pictured in the pre-orders. So if two heads are pictured, they will be included.
So two heads are better than one.
Exactly. They are better than one. So if they were pictured on the pre-order for StoreHorseman.com for the Power Lords, they are included.
Okay.
And that pre-order ends next Friday, October 6th, and they're only a little over halfway right now.
So get your socks
on. So if you're going to get in on these, you got to get in on them like ASAP, because otherwise it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Which would be a huge bummer because they're cool looking. So that's out of the way.
Correction from last episode.
This one's going to be kind of a short, random episode. We're recording it on a Tuesday because both of us are busy on Thursday this week. We wanted to make sure we got an episode up this week. Because why, Mike?
Because we're going to be busy.
We're going to be busy.
This Thursday.
Yep.
No, next episode, we're going to have John Fleskus from Flesk Publications on.
Hey,
and
that's a cool guy.
Hey, that's a cool guy.
That's a cool guy.
He is actually a pretty cool guy. I have not talked to him over the phone yet, but... I did some reading up on them, and it should be a pretty fun, pretty interesting interview. And
they have some really cool stuff they're doing over there.
We had Mark Schultz on, and we talked about Flesk Publications then, but you know what we didn't talk about was all the other projects that he has going on. Stuff with Steve Rude, Brom, Al Williamson.
Steve Rude, he's cool and rude.
The dude.
He's not cool but rude.
He's the dude.
He's cool and rude.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot going on there and a lot of cool stuff that – I'm interested in, and some of our listeners might be. So anyway, so that's happening next time. So we wanted to get a regular episode in first.
Yeah.
Plus, we're scheduled to do it.
And we don't want to skip.
You don't want to skip.
We don't want to skip.
We never skip.
If we skipped next week, that means that, this week, we would have to do it next week. That would mean 2 weeks in a row, and that's too much.
We should be plum tuckered out.
Remember when we used to do it every week?
Oh, yeah, we used to do it.
We used to do it every week, and that was too much.
It got to be too much.
I was sick of it. That show even existed.
You get tired of doing it.
You don't have a lot to talk about. Like right now, there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Oh, I could fill an entire episode, my friend.
Let's do it then.
Let's do this episode. All right,
episode 9. Oh, so again, John Fleskus. Is it Fleskus?
It's Fleskus, yeah.
Okay. Next episodes. Tune in. If you're a comic guy, if you love
art.
Art.
Comics.
This episode will be the one.
If you're a young entrepreneur who's just interested in how people make a way for themselves, this should be a good episode.
All right.
Episode 9.
So, and I want to say real quick, too, that Jason Leonard made a comment on the last episode. And he said, I really enjoyed, the interview. He's like, but I don't know if it's just me. I also like the vibe of just the two of you guys, though.
Or
like
okay. That.
So that's one thing we like to do if we're going to have an interview is to break it up with another episode. In case people do enjoy just the two of us, we don't want it to be every episode there's a guest, every single one. But we do like having guests on, and it is we get some interesting stuff out of them. But we will try and break it up so that you get a guest, you get your normal episode, maybe a guest, normal episode, a guest.
You and I have worked together and have for such a long time. I think it naturally the dynamic is going to be, and we come in here and we're just, at least me, I'm shooting from the hip the whole time. Pow.
I have nothing but hip shooting going on.
It's just, it's crazy in here. And you can't expect, when we do interviews, you should know that, I mean, we try to keep it light, but there is going to be a more professional tone, maybe. I'm hoping at least that if anybody's listening, I guess let us know if you want to hear more interviews or if you'd rather hear less or whatever.
Every other episode way too much? Is it just enough? Do you want to have more of a break? One per month, maybe, with an interview? How you'd like to have interviews handled?
Or who you'd like for us to try and get? Because that could be a possibility,
too. Would you like interview episodes structured so that we have maybe a part of the episode's just us, and then part of it's an interview?
Yeah.
Like you said, with the interview ones, we try to be a little more professional and stay a little more on topic and give the interviewee more time to talk and not so much us talking.
Yeah.
So that we get as much information out of them as we can. Like for Cornboy, I wanted to hear everything he had to say. Like I wanted him just to keep going as much as he could.
You want to talk about corn?
Yeah. I wanted to find out all the things about maize and corn that I could.
Yeah.
We need feedback on how you like interviews handled and how often you want to hear them. It'd be great. Cause otherwise we're just guessing.
Yeah.
So stuff like Jason Leonard, him messaging and telling us that was great.
Yeah.
Buzz from Evil Hive, he also said, he's like, man, it's the first time I've made it through a whole episode. I've listened to a whole episode of the show. I was like, oh, that's okay. It's kind of a bummer to hear. But he was like, well, it really hooked me in. The interest for me, he's like, I guess he's not really much of a podcast guy as much, or at least maybe he is, and he just doesn't like ours. But he said it was the subject material was really owned in for him, and he really enjoyed it and listened to the whole thing. And
we have quite a wide range of topics, and it might be...
Yeah, it may be too much sometimes. If you wanted to stay on one thing, if you're wanting to listen to a podcast just about toys, it's tough, because this isn't just about toys. Yeah. We're going to talk about everything. Feedback, please, on what we should be doing. All right, back to the Episode 9 director thing.
Episode 9 director, okay.
He's out. This has happened since our last recording of a regular episode. Colin Trevorrow. He's out. And J.J. Abrams is in.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
That's cool. You know, that's fine. I liked Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I do recognize the similarities between Force Awakens and A New Hope.
Sure.
I recognize it. I can't even think about it yet, though, because I'm so worried about Episode 8.
That's... while we're on Episode 9, I saw an article headline today. It was, will Constable Zuvio finally show up in Star Wars Episode 9?
Will anyone care?
I thought, who cares?
Yeah. Constable Zuvio, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Not only is that movie one removed, we still haven't gotten to Episode 8, but Constable Zuvio is a secondary character.
He's the last thing on my mind.
Who got a bunch of toys made for him and then got cut from the entire film and sat on shelves.
Yeah.
I don't need him back. I don't care if he's in there. I don't care.
I don't need to know anything about Constable Zuvio.
So anyway.
I don't think there's some guy sitting somewhere with his Constable Zuvio shirt.
Yep.
And his Constable Zuvio fan fiction and all the figures and the Zuvio mask and all that stuff just waiting.
He's waiting.
Just sitting there waiting for more information about him.
You can't wait.
I'd be happy if we never heard about Zuvio again.
Don't care. But yeah, J.J. Abrams, I would have... I was okay with him doing the trilogy, because at least you'd have sort of a cohesive trilogy. And now... Episode 8...
The more I see him about it, the more worried I get.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of like... This really feels a lot different.
It's all speculation.
Yeah.
And I could be totally wowed. But...
Yeah, we could go into it and love it. But the things I'm seeing and hearing... there's not been a single thing I've heard or seen where I've gone, oh man, that's really cool. Yeah. Like, I can't wait for that. It's just been a bunch of, that could be taken a couple different ways. And I really don't know how that's going to play out.
Mark Hamill had posted some photographs from one of the scenes. What I've been referring to as the opera is actually a casino. And it looks like just like
an opera,
like a modern casino.
With people in tuxes.
And then there's another. And I forgive me if we've talked about this on here before, but I was realizing that if you can walk outside and see it, then it doesn't need to be in Star Wars. That's what makes it a fantasy and fun. And if everything that you're going to do is just like, well, here's an alien guy and he's wearing a tux that you can go down to Men's Warehouse and buy. Okay. I'm not really removed from Earth here now at this point. So,
and as much as I don't enjoy the prequels, I will say that he did an okay job of making most things seem strangest. Like the opera thing that the Senator and or Palpatine and Anakin went to was bizarre. Like it was a weird setting with weird characters and a weird look. It wasn't just like it's an opera with some people in masks. Yeah.
Like the 50s diner was...
The 50s diner was terrible. I was just about to say, except for the 50s diner, that was terrible. And as awful as that was, that's what this reminds me of. The
exactly, yes. This is kind of reminded me of prequel stuff.
Yeah, as I started to say, I was remembering the 50s diner was the one thing that does jump out of the prequels that is just like this, where it's, here's something that's very Earth and very... something that you can relate to and go to and see, like a Johnny Rockets or something, but we've just put some people in rubber masks inside of it. It was never like that in the original trilogy. The Mos Eisley Cantina still seems very alien. Even though it's meant to be like a CD bar, it still seems like a very alien CD bar.
The trick is, even if it's something that we recognize as being familiar, but from a different time period, like everyone's Star Wars is wearing, Obi-Wan's wearing a robe, and everything is very like early... From far removed. You have to be far removed from it. And, you know.
This just feels
it's
like...
It's like putting a... It's like you putting a
casino.
Toyota Corolla in there or something and just being like, hey, here's your space car. It's a Corolla.
It's Space Corolla.
Oh. Okay, I'm not very excited about that. Okay. Okay. So one more Star Wars thing. Tamriel Morrison, a.k.a. Jango Fett, says it, quote, would be great, unquote, to be in one of the new Star Wars movies. I'm like...
Yeah. That's where somebody just asked him in an interview.
Right.
Would you like to be in one of the Star Wars movies? Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm not doing anything.
You know? I don't think he probably even cares.
He probably...
Or he even really wants to be in another one. But if somebody comes up to you and says...
He's going to take the paycheck to be in a Star Wars movie.
Hey, you liked that pasta you had at Maggiano's, right? Would you like to eat that again sometime?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
It doesn't mean like I'm like lobbying for it or that I'm like dying to do that again or that it's the foremost thing on my mind or that man, I really hope I get cast or that there's any kind of inkling that it's ever going to happen. It's just an off-the-cuff, sure, that'd be great.
So this is the media... problem is just they turn it into
blow it out of proportion.
Turn it into an article.
Totally.
But I thought he's probably not doing anything, and yes, he would like to be part of the most successful movie franchise of all time again. So that's something. What else you got?
Marvel Legacy issue 1 comes out tomorrow. That's the big thing where it's supposed to return it all.
Oh right.
They've already shown, like I guess there's some teaser pages online already that Marvel released. And spoiler warning. I mean, you may want to wait a minute or two if you don't want to know anything that's going to happen tomorrow. But this episode comes out tomorrow, so you'll probably see it anyway. Wolverine's back. That was the big return that they kept on teasing, is that Wolverine's coming back.
Okay.
And it makes sense. I mean,
Wolverine is a very popular character.
It's silly that he's been gone this long, and they have two pseudo-replacements for him to kind of fill the need for having Wolverine. Whereas, okay, if you're doing that anyway, then why don't you just bring back Wolverine? If you're going to have old Wolverine... and young female clone of Wolverine, but no Wolverine, that's not really taking away Wolverine. That's taking away and giving two subpar replacements for
Wolverine. It's not like he's a real person and he's not available. You can draw him.
You can just put him in the book. So he's coming back. I mean, I'm going to pick it up tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm not getting my hopes up too high.
Is this maybe I'm dumb. I'm ignorant of the facts here.
Yeah.
Is this one series with characters in it, or does each character get their own book now and it's a restart for like the whole thing?
Well, the Marvel Legacy book is supposed to be the thing that sets it all back.
Okay.
So, you know, brings back
one
classic characters. I honestly don't know for sure if it's a miniseries or what, but I know that the big one-shot thing is tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't know if there's more after that one, but it's supposed to start the story of how everything sets back. And I don't know if that story will carry through into the individual titles and explain where it all goes from here, or if there'll be more legacy specials that explain where everything's at. I don't know. Okay. I know that they were very confusing about the whole thing because they did those generations things where it was an old version and a new version together. And those all came out before Legacy, but there was kind of no explanation, at least in the ones I read, as to why the old version was with the new version. Hmm. I read the Hulk one, I read the Phoenix one, and I read the Wolverine one. And none of them had a true explanation as to why the old one and the new one were together. It was just like they were just together. And they basically, in each one that I read, felt like they used the old one to make the new one seem cooler.
Right.
Which is awful.
Yeah.
That's an awful thing to do. And when you're trying to do this whole thing where we understand that people want those classic characters back, and we're going to have the new one and the old together, and it's a return to our heritage, and we're really embracing our true legacy of characters. But if you're just trotting them out just to make the new guy seem, especially like in the Hulk one that I read, the totally awesome Hulk, Amadeus Cho.
He's very hip.
They actually call him Totally Awesome Hulk. That's the name of the book. It's Totally Awesome Hulk.
Okay.
Which is awful.
Reminds me of Rob Liefeld's comic company.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome Comics. Awesome Entertainment. So in the book, they're fighting this thing, and basically he's telling Banner that he doesn't know how to control the Hulk and how he could be a better hero and all this stuff. And there's innocence. And so Amadeus Cho turns into the Hulk and basically tells Banner, I'll take care of everything. You just go help some innocents. And Banner's like, well, what do I do? What do I do? And he just kind of yells at him and tells him what to do. And he'll take care of everything.
Well, Bruce Banner can't handle it?
I guess he can't. And also in the same issue.
But he's the Hulk.
He is the Hulk. My thing is, okay, you've got the classic Hulk, which is what this is in this book. And the madder he gets, the stronger he gets. That's the whole thing about Hulk for classic Hulk. There shouldn't be any character that could stand up to his savage ferocity. Like, if he keeps getting madder and madder, that's because that's what the Hulk's got going for him, is the strength. He's dumb, but has an unlimited strength.
He's a monster.
Amadeus Cho is a smart guy inside with the Hulk powers. So for me, there should be a cap with him, because you shouldn't have both, where you're incredibly brilliant and just unlimited strength. He should have to outsmart the old Hulk. He shouldn't be able to outfight the old Hulk. He shouldn't be able to go toe-to-toe against the old Hulk. Because then you're just making him, well, your guy's strong. Well, my guy's just as strong, and he's super smart.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the book did.
Powers only.
He just kept fighting him and fighting and fighting him. And he's like, well, I can keep going toe-to-toe with you. I kept waiting for that moment where he's had to outsmart him, right, or had to do something. But it was fine. They were on the same strength level, and he outsmarted him too. So it was like, okay, if this is all you're going to do is trot out the old ones just to make the new ones 10 times cooler than the old guys, then I don't want that. That's not what anybody wants.
That's a video game mentality.
Exactly. Nobody wants that. Like, for the example, the Wolverine one, when he's watching the new girl fight, he's going, she's a better fighter than me. She's faster than me, and this more than me, and that more than me. And it's like, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to hear how your new creation is so much better than the old one. You guys have to love this new one. It's better than the old one. We made it better.
See, we made it better.
Don't you like this new one better? Because we made it better. No, you didn't. There's a reason why we like the old one. There's a reason why people are clamoring for the old one to come back. And that the sales are reflecting that they want the old ones back. Because they don't like your new one as much. If you want to keep your new ones, don't do it at the expense of the old ones. Create a separate universe. You had the Ultimate Universe where you did your new version characters. Take all these new guys, put them in that universe, see how well it does. Keep all the old ones and do them in this universe and see how well it does. Whichever one sells better sticks around. Whichever one doesn't, gets out of here.
Right.
It's pretty simple to me.
Yeah.
But they're not on that same wavelength, I guess. And so I'm going to give this a shot tomorrow. Not going in with any kind of hopes or expectations that it's going to make things better.
Just see what happens.
I'm just going to see what happens.
You can read a comic, too.
Can you read a comic, too? All right, what do you have?
I just have a couple more things, really. One being, I don't think we talked about Terminator 6.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this.
Okay, so...
Well, we talked about Arnold coming back, I think, and James Cameron coming back.
Okay, so that's really all I have.
Linda Hamilton's back, too.
Linda Hamilton is back, too, yes.
That's just recently.
I think it just needs to be let go of, honestly. But okay, so that's happening.
Now, that one will be the most pleasantly surprising if it actually turns out good.
And don't get me wrong, I think there is potential with... for some reason, Linda Hamilton is the one that makes me think this could be a serious good return for to this franchise. But James Cameron, and as much as I enjoy Arnold, he just did a goofy Terminator movie.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, he'll do anything. It seems that. Hey, if you guys want us to interview him, apparently we can probably get him on. He'll probably do it. And James Cameron had done Avatar, and he's talking about five more Avatars or four more or whatever it is. So when I saw Linda Hamilton coming back, I was like, "Is this going to be a good serious Terminator movie that's going to put a cap on what I think really would be a trilogy?" If this was a good movie, you have the first two, which are fantastic, great, and then a good third one would be a nice way to wrap it up.
I totally agree. And I'm right in the same place where I didn't care about James Cameron coming back, really. Didn't care about Arnold coming back, really. Because he did Terminator 3, and it was awful. And he did Terminator Genesis, and it was awful.
Yeah.
So him being attached to it doesn't automatically make me think, okay, we're going to get a Terminator. And like the same thing you said, James Cameron's done some stuff I have not been a fan of lately. But Linda Hamilton, on the other hand, that's interesting. And especially when Cameron was saying, I want to prove that there can be, just like there's aging action heroes, I want to address the aging male action heroes. I want to address the aging female action hero. I would like to see where, if we follow the course of Sarah Connor's character, extrapolated from the end of Terminator 2 and where she's at, would she still be preparing? Would she have given up and not be preparing for this horrible future anymore? Or where would she be at as a character? I enjoyed the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Those took place right after, and where they took that character. I think that there's more to do with her than there is with another Arnold Terminator.
Definitely. He would have to be a kind of a secondary piece.
Yeah. There's no way I'll buy him as a Terminator again.
Yeah.
I mean, they even though Genesis is awful, they did make a strong case for an aging Terminator in the movie and how it would make sense. You can't play the same thing in this one. He's going to have to be not a Terminator.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be maybe the guy that the Terminator is modeled after, or
that would be
something to that effect, where if you want Arnold involved, he can't be a Terminator this time.
That would be nice.
But she is the one I want to see where her character goes. There's more you can do and take her character places than you can a Terminator,
right?
Just a robot. Cause we've seen the best you can do with a Terminator robot, and that's Terminator 2.
Yeah.
That's the best you can possibly do with a character evolution of a robot.
Yep.
It's not going to get any better than that. So,
agreed.
We'll see.
How many more things?
I really have just the one.
Okay. Well, I'll read a letter to Mattel.
Oh, okay.
Then since we're... Okay. There's quite a few of these. I don't know when I'm going to run out. Dear Maddie Collectors, I just heard about the Preternia playset. Why wasn't I told about this? Who's in charge?
God, sir.
Oh, my God. That's cool. However, the idea of a prequel has my brain juices bubbling. Get those molds for Batman done yet? One.
What?
One. Pre-man. Beats He-Man to the punch every time. Two. The juicer. Keeps the evil whore healthy with the juice squeezed from his victims. Three.
You said horde, right? Of course you said horde.
Whatever's in the movie. Three. Hilarator, King Randor's official court jester. My brain hurts, so I can't write anymore right now. But think about it. Prequels are all the latest rage, and you would be smarter if you capitalized on the latest rage of making summer blockbusters out of prequels. Truly yours, truly your biggest fan, and biggest idea man. P.S. What about Idea Man? Could be the prime thinker on Preternia.
Might be. I love the throw in on the Batman thing.
Yeah.
You're just curious.
I think...
You finished the molds on Batman yet?
I think maybe that's a throwback to the first one I wrote. I think I had a Batman on there because I had Batman, Ratman, okay. Catmandu.
That makes sense.
I liked it better when it was DC's Batman.
Yeah.
But I don't control how these go. They just
flow.
They just happen. So that's that. And I want to mention a movie.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's called The Whole Wide World.
Okay.
I only know one other person who's seen it, and that's Eric Meador, and we both agreed a while back that it was really not very good.
Are we saying his name wrong, by the way?
I don't think so.
I think we are.
I don't think so.
Because I thought I saw on Facebook, he had pointed out sometimes that he's like, hey, he didn't mind how people pronounce his name or something like that. But that a lot of people do pronounce it Meador, and that maybe Meador.
I like Meador because it sounds hearty and robust.
I think we've talked about this because I think you said mead like that when we talked about it. I'm just going to keep on talking about pronouncing it wrong and never actually find out what the true pronunciation of it is.
I think we had discussed that at one point, and he must have told me that it didn't matter, or...
Yeah.
I can't... I'm sorry, Eric. I'm sorry. I don't recall that specific thing.
Meador.
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 But anyway, we both agree that it wasn't very good. It's about Robert E. Howard.
Wait a second. You agree that it's not very good, but you're bringing it up?
Well, hold on. Okay. This was back when. But I've watched it a couple times. For some reason, it sort of resonates with me, and it's about Robert E. Howard, the creator of Conan and writer of Conan.
Yeah.
And it's based on a book written by his only, it's thought to be really his only girlfriend that he ever had in life. And she had written down conversations that they had and stuff, and she wrote a book based on their relationship sort of. So it's not an action movie. It's sort of, I don't even know if I can call it a romance movie.
Okay.
Because Howard was apparently so eccentric and strange, and it's just like this, you know, he's like one of these characters who he has very lovable parts to him, very lovable moments, and then he'll say something that's just way out of left field, and if you're interested at all in the character of Conan or the books or Robert Howard as a just who was behind those stories, it's kind of an interesting watch, it throws in plenty of Conan talk where he's describing the character or he's sitting at his typewriter writing, and Vincent D'Onofrio,
yeah,
he plays Robert E. Howard.
Oh, really?
And he does a fantastic job. His girlfriend's played by Renee Zellweger, which was really the main turnoff for me. I don't care for her. She didn't do a bad job. She just...
Yeah.
But the woman in real life wasn't, you know, like a super vixen anyway. So it's a little known movie that just... Okay. It might have been made for TV, but it's kind of just neat. And I'm recommending it. If you're interested in Robert E. Howard at all.
I'll tell you one thing I don't recommend is the new Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh.
Disney XD or whatever. I'm not a fan. Like, I was hopeful... Okay, Ultimate Spider-Man, you know, cartoon before this, it's definitely geared towards a younger audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of goofy, and it does silly things. But, you know, it's meant for kids. I accepted Ultimate Spider-Man. And it ran 100 and some episodes, whatever it was. Then they showed this newer Spider-Man coming, and I saw one shot of it, and it was like, oh, this looks like classic villains. They're doing a good job here. I'm liking these designs. And it's just kind of more of the same of Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, I don't understand why they stopped doing Ultimate Spider-Man in favor of this, because it's kind of the same vibe. Like, it's goofy, and it's not over-the-top goofy like Ultimate Spider-Man is at some points, but it's still, it feels very dumbed down. Like, it feels like they don't have an interest in having kids, treating kids as more than just kids. Like, Batman Animated Series was made for all ages. Like, they never set up to make a show that's like, dumb it down for kids.
Yeah.
Make the show that you want to see and kids will embrace it. And I don't think they're interested in doing that now. They want to dumb it down as far as they can. Go shoot to the lowest common denominator with these shows.
That's what it seems like. It's very interesting to me.
It's very disappointing.
The cartoons that we watch, watch them.
Yeah.
I've watched stuff, you know, in my adult years that, from my childhood, and I thought, how did I get that? There'd be words in there that were big words.
Yeah, like, how did I understand
that? And I'm like, but I got it. It never turned me off to anything. If anything, it's part of an education because you're getting used to... That's like, they tell you really not to baby talk your kids.
And people do.
And people do, of course, because there's a certain amount of cuteness, but if you want them to become very intelligent,
then you
talk to them like,
yeah,
doesn't mean you go around using, you know, $20 words, but
yeah,
you'd speak to them as you, as somebody who is respected, and then they will grow into being a respectable person.
Yeah.
You don't treat them like...
I mean, and it could be through the eyes of nostalgia, but I'm watching it, and I'm going, man, the 90s version of Spider-Man, it was a cartoon that, yeah, there were some kiddified elements to it, but I never felt like I was watching a kiddie cartoon.
Yeah.
And people loved that Spider-Man cartoon. And this one could be like that, but they just do these things where it's like, you're really dumbing this down, and you're really trying to... And everything, it's felt like every character has to be a teenage character now. Like,
yeah.
Every character's got to be a teenager. We got to make them a kid.
Right.
Villains, they have to be teenagers. Spider-Man's got to be a teenager. It's all going to be teen. It's like, okay, yeah, I get what you're doing, but we just had that. We just had it in Ultimate Spider-Man. You just had that. Why not try something different now? But instead, you're just like kind of regurgitating the same formula, just making it look a little different. What's the point? What?
It's Disney.
Why does this show exist?
They want to put it on XD.
Yeah, they want it to be the kiddified stuff again. And it's, I don't know. I mean, those won't stand, in my opinion, they won't stand the test of time, because you won't be able to, the people that are watching them now and the kids that are enjoying them now, they're not going to enjoy them when they hit their later teen years or they hit their 20s or something. Whereas all those shows that we, like Batman Animated Series, X-Men, Spider-Man of the 90s, I can still watch those shows and go, this is good. This is fun to watch. I don't feel like I'm watching something that is not my age anymore. Like, I'm way too old to be watching this. I'm still
There's plenty of plot involved. And
Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which is a pretty recent show. They got it. They understood. And it feels the same way. Wolverine and the X-Men feels the same way, that it works. But now it's just like, they switched it off. Like, they ended Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. They did this other Avengers cartoon, totally dumbed down. Also, Spider-Man dumbed down. This Spider-Man dumbed down. It's like, what? Why are you doing that? Why? I don't get it. I don't know. If somebody out there likes it and you can tell me why I'm wrong and why I should be giving it more of a chance, then please say so. But it really just feels like things are getting stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid that you can't even enjoy them anymore.
Yeah. That's how I feel about pretty much all
television. It's getting really stupid. Just
about. Well, okay.
All right. So that's all I have.
All right.
Anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
Well, it's only a half an hour one.
That's okay. Fine, that's okay.
You can take a half hour.
This is going to be a surprise anyway.
Yeah. Wednesday, I get a podcast? What's going on?
What?
All right.
Not next week, but the following week, that's October. It'll be October 13th when it airs. There'll be John Fleskus from Flesk Publications. And if you're inclined to do so, go check out fleskpublications.com right now and see who all he's got on there. And if you have a question about one of those things, shoot it to us and maybe we'll be able to fit it in. But until then.
See ya.
Yeah.
We want to be ya.
Until then, don't.
Don't let the door hit you.
Don't let the door hit you. Okay.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that okay?
That's
you got the music coming on. I thought we were going to say some other
stuff. You wanted to say something else?
I got nothing.
All right.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I'm a blank slate, man.
Tune it out then. Turn it off.
Action features.
It's nice to catch a feature.